Hi, you're listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network, produced at 3CR Community Radio on Wurundjeri Country. And I'm Nikki Stott. Earlier this year, to celebrate NAIDOC Week, the Indigenous Peoples Organisation Australia, in collaboration with Better Futures Australia, hosted a webinar series called Heal Country, Heal Climate. And today on the show, we'll hear part two of a three-part episode called Healing Our Waterways. And this episode is chaired by Wiradjuri and Nyambal woman, Dr. Virginia Marshall. And the speakers are Murawuri and Budgety Elder, Bruce Shillingsworth, Niganawara woman, Dr. Anne Polina, and Mirning Elder, Bunalori.
Water is very important. Our people know that water is much heavier than the weight of gold. When we say Kabingalan, that means to drink water if you eat water, especially if you have no food in your stomach. Kabingalan, that means you drink to eat water, and that means that'll stop you from getting hungry. So when you drink a lot of water, Kabingalan, you remember that word, Kabingalan. That means eat to drink water, or drink, you don't drink it, but you swallow it like you follow your food, or you chew it. Like if you're out in the desert somewhere, you get a stone, you suck it, and let your fluid fill you up. And if you feel dehydrated or you feel that you're going to die or perish. But Kabingalan is a word that we use, and we know we've been taught by that from our ancestors, because water is very important. Kabingalan is to quench your hunger, quench your thirst, and you can walk another 20 miles, another 40 miles till you dig another hole to find water. But all of those coasts and where we come from, we dig holes in the ground, in the sand, you know, a bit back from where the sea is, into the sand dunes, and we dig a hole about that, about a meter and a half. And we let it rest for about half an hour, come back an half an hour, and the water rises up. And that's what I say. That shows you how the sea keep filling us up, keep looking after the land, keep looking after his sister, the Mother Earth. So the father is the sea and the mother is the land. And the earth acts like a big filter. And that water is very important. And we're trying to teach non-Indigenous people about this, our water, to keep our water clean. It's important to do so. Look after the country, protect country. We've been taught a lot of things from our elders and from the past. And I grew up learning all this too. And I know that there's other people and other elders. Well, that's that they have knowledge from their own country. And I think it is important to support one another, because as non-Indigenous, as the First Nations people of this country, it's important that we set things right, because if we don't, our children and our future generation is never going to learn and understand what all this greediness is about, what all this crap's about, profit and all that, and this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. My people, my tribe is called the Gunmanir tribe, and that means we share with everything that we get. It's like family, Yumri. We share all our things with people. We try and teach non-Indigenous people that, you know, it goes in that Ian comes out, and they don't understand that, you know. So we've got to keep on doing what we're doing. And our laws are Lord, and our laws were broken. All the Indigenous tribes and the First Nation people laws were broken, and still broken when it might be broken, but we still hold the knowledge. It's still in our heads. It's still in our heart and soul, because our ancestors are with us. And we have to keep teaching people how to connect to the land and how to live with the land, how to live with water, how to understand it. Water is not just not water, but it's a being. It's a being. It's a living being, because everything, like the wind, they all work together, the rain, the rainbow, the sun, the moon, they're all this important big dreaming creators who came from the great creators of creation. So trying to teach people to understand this, you know, we talk about God and talk about Jesus, but all we know, we never heard of God or Jesus, but we only know about the great ancestors, the great creator, you know, in the Jugana, in the great dream time. And we believe that everything was put in front of us and given to us. When Norman Tyndale came to this country and mapped out all the country, he was only a 20-year-old man when he came to this country. He learned a lot of knowledge of the people, but he got a lot of things mixed up as well. But, you know, it shows you. One time they said there was about 750 Aboriginal tribes in Australia, but there was more. And if you had on the clans there, it goes up something like 5,000 to 10,000 little tribes and clans. So, you know, we have about 30 clans in our tribe, you know. you know, before the coming of the white man, we had about 3,000 people in our tribe. And, you know, since when they came, they'd done wrong things to our people, wrong things. You know, we all know about the story of the history of massacres and all that. So I think we need to come together now to work together and try and get a relationship with this government, because if the government can't have a relationship with us, we're going to have our own relationship to keep our laws and customs and traditions intact. Keep it intact, and it must be in this land, because if they don't obey our law, now we're going to continue to listen to their law and to respect their law, because we're going nowhere with that, because this country is slowly deteriorating and is owned, half of it is owned by China. You know, come on, you know. We can't be living on rice for the rest of our life, you know. We eat kangaroo, we eat all the bush duck and all that, you know. I get carried away sometimes when I talk, but, you know, I know I like it when I'm talking too, and, you know, and I like it. I really like all my Aboriginal brothers and sisters when they talk, because, you know, if you don't say nothing now, you know, nothing's going to happen for you and your family in the future to come. So you got to let it out of yourself and tell the truth, because we're going to teach people this. But water is very precious. Again, one more time. Gabingalan, to eat, to drink water, is to quench your thirst and quench your hunger. So it is a very precious thing. Without water, no flowers can't grow. No seeds can't grow. Nothing. Water. You put water in the land, something grows, comes. It's magic. It's a magic drink. It's better than Pepsi Cola. You know, it's better than all the shit you're putting out there and giving all our people, you know, sugar and, you know, diabetes and all that crap and all that crap food you bought. I remember when I was a little kid living in Kuniva Mission. I was born on Kuniva Mission, you know. My mother, you know, this white minister dropped off this big 5-gallon drum. I said, "Mum, what's that there?" She said, "Oh, it's butter." I said, "Butter." But when I looked, I saw the name on there, lard. You know what? Pig fat. We thought it was butter. We were spreading our bloody hot Johnny cakes and fried bread and all that. We lived on that, you know. So one day our people are dying of, you know, having high cholesterol levels and dying of heart attacks and cardiovascular problems because they gave us lard to bloody eat as butter. So, you know, I never forget that from that day to this day, you know. So we must be in control of our land and our waters, because we know where natural, healthy food comes from to keep our people, our children, all healthy, and to keep singing our songs and keep that relationship with the land. And it's very important. You know, our crop is important. Our language is important to keep, because when you talk that language of the land, it wakens the spirit up. It reminds the ancestors that you're still here. When you come back, or when you go back to it, they cry. When we go to our country, we're wailing at night, and everybody pick up the gear. "Oh, we're getting out of your ghost." He said, "No." Mama said, "Don't. Maga, yuni maga," that means don't go. He said, "What for?" "That's our ancestors crying because they're happy. They are happy, they're crying because you're here, you're back on country." You see? So we have to continue to go back and practice our own custom. Doesn't matter what they say, what they stop you from. It's important to say that, because I like to swear, but when you have everything up in this country, you got nothing. It's poison. Poison. That's all I say. Thank you.
Oh, Managua, Uncle Bunner, and we love your passion. Everybody has made comment that, you know, we have so much passion tonight, and this really keeps us alive for the fight. So don't stop being passionate.
I'm almost ready to cry, but I got to hold my
up. I know.
Hold it back, because yeah. I know it's very sad in a way, but, you know, in a happy way.
Absolutely. And, you know, the question that people are actually sending us now, and this is one question that we could put to any of you, is that what do people actually do about these issues who live in the city? How do they actually get involved, and what can they change in the way that they live in those cities? What response do you have for them?
Well, I'm sorry to say, in the city, I'm back in Adelaide now. I left Melbourne 2.5 years ago since the COVID-19 came in this thing, you know, this, it's a name and a number, isn't it? That's what I call it, a name and a number. Mm. So when I came back to Adelaide, and I've realised now that I'm hearing stories about young people and on ice and drugs and, you know, it's junkies, and I feel really sad because our people are on that, you know. And when I go on the street, you know, come and hit you up for, I've got to go and buy them hamburgers or buy them food or give them $10 or $20. I give them because I'm a kind-hearted person. I'm a good-minded person. I like to help people and buy them food or come and set up a coffee with me. I just almost like I'm going to cry to see that, you know. And they're homeless. And I've travelled all over Adelaide. There's tents set up there by lots of tribes from the inland tribes, top end from Central Australia, coming down to camp in the city, and they're getting kicked out of there. You can't stay. You can stay there one night. The policeman's kicking them out. It's happening in Perth. It's happening in Sydney. I feel so sad that our people are becoming homeless in this country. You know, it's like that song that I wrote about a shy black boy came to the city to learn about life and has people lost their lives, you know, all that sort of thing. It's so sad to see that, you know, we've been moved off our land and by these so-called Bible bashers and, you know, influenced by Christianity. You know, it's sickening because they ripped my two grandfathers off, you know. My grandfather joined the native scrub cutters, you know, clearing land for them, you know, to, you know, a plan that they said came from the Bible to rising out of the virgin scrub, the wilderness of the Nelly. You know, people worked for 60 years clearing scrub for them and they still own that land today. They never swung that axe. Now people are giving flour, sugar and tea, and I feel disgusting about what the government is doing to our Aboriginal people and the children and the youth of this country. It's incredible. A lot of young people in jail and, you know, even old people in jail. And even me, when I walk in the street, you know, the police look at me and, you know, think that I'm a bloody hobo or something. They don't even know me, you know. They don't even know that I'm who I am. I've got a beard growing and I'm wearing a hat. But, you know, they seem to follow you around and they think you're, they don't want you on the street. And I hear a lot of stories what's going on and I'm sort of really disappointed and heartbroken to what's happened to this country from years ago.
I think, look, a way that city people can get involved is just to, you know, help us to build that awareness out there in the wider community, what's going on in our, on the river towns and the waterways across the nation, I think. Because they live in the city, they get far more chance of spreading the word and getting that message out there to influence, you know, our government leaders and the people that represent us. And I think people in the cities can form their own groups. People in the city can start getting involved in a lot of the issues with First Nation along those communities, start to connect, build a relationship and start listening to decision-making. Get involved in all those processes and that we can start pushing the more the people we got, the numbers, the more numbers, the better opportunities we have, and I think we can put more pressure on the government. But look, non-Indigenous people out there are willing to support us, and I think First Nations people need to guide them and direct them as well and to start educating them. I think and if they can get involved, especially the students from coming out of university. I mean, scientists, we need young scientists. We need people out there that contribute to fixing our solutions in those communities, I think. Look, just get involved, but most foremost, speak to First Nations.
You're listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network.
That's right, Uncle Bruce. It's so true. And people don't feel powerless then. And Anne, you have those same situations in Broome and other areas where there are very few jobs on country. And also with native title, you know, where there's very limited opportunities that are being allowed through a whole range of different issues with the Aboriginal Heritage Act in Western Australia, for example. So how do you think that that's going to be solved and how we can get people involved on country in range of jobs and water being, you know, one of those chief areas that we can work on country instead of going into those towns?
Yeah, no, it's important. But I think one of the things too is that sometimes people sort of think that Aboriginal people only live in the north and whatever. And what I'm saying is that the majority of Aboriginal people live in Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide. These people are there, they're living on country. And what I want people to do is move from a survivalist mentality to a relationist mentality. The Yarra River flows through Melbourne. Go and sit on that river bank. Get to know that river. Form your own relationship with that river system. You know, we've got living waters all around the country. So what we're saying is that get as Bruce was saying, get to know Indigenous people. They're there. They're wanting to connect. And what I would recommend is for non-Indigenous people to be brave. The last census said that 60% of Australians still have not met an Aboriginal person. And it is unbelievable that we live in a nation where which is your home. So therefore, you need to connect and develop those relationships, one, with the place where you're at, whether it's in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. Country is country. Country wants to know you. You've got to get to know country. So, yes, exactly. There's a lot of things happening up here. And what we're saying is, what does just energy transition look like? What are the new economies that Indigenous people can be leading? Culture, conservation, science, all of these things are right here. Bio prospecting, as you know, Virginia, we have plants on country that are great for humanity. How do we get the equity? How do we get the benefit sharing? How do we organise patents? So what we're saying is that Indigenous people, because we are the first scientists, we are the first engineers, we are the first architects, and particularly the first farmers. So let's start to really believe and look at Indigenous wisdom as something that's going to right-size our nation, but more importantly, right-size the planet. So for us, everything is place-based. What does regional governance look like from that regional perspective? How do we bring in the connection between saltwater, freshwater interface? We hear that the water that's flowing out of the Fitzroy River is being wasted into the ocean, and we know that's not true. So, you know, how do we bring in this Indigenous science? How do we bring in the collective wisdom? But most importantly, how do we transition to the new economies, which Indigenous people know can be achieved if we have the investment to build the capacity of our workforce and redefine what the new economies could be? But it must be Indigenous-led. It seriously must be Indigenous-led. So that's what we're saying, is that how do we develop a cooperative pathway? How do we develop a unity pathway where we share information, where there's informed decision-making, where we understand what true justice and equity means for Indigenous people, but also multi-species justice? The serpent, which is the Fitzroy River, has a right to live and flow. The kangaroos, the fish, all of these things, they have a right to live and they have their own law. And so it's very, very important that we think about this, not just from human well-being, but multi-species justice. The whales have a right to live. The dolphins have a right to live. So how do we come together and share this collective wisdom so at the end of the day we can right-size our nation but keep the planet right-sized as well?
Yeah, and I think, Uncle Bunno, that's a good point, that the whales, how do we actually really love the sea, and how does everybody out there that hasn't been to your country, to the Murning Country, how do they actually then start to get that connection and that love of your totem, you know, your understanding of how you understand the sea?
Well, I'm trying to teach people how to, if you want to connect to a whale and to respect the whale and love the whale, like everybody say, I love the whales. Look, go to this place and try and talk to them and, you know, try and communicate, you know, how people communicate them in a telepathic way. You know, you think in the brain that can, it's they're talking about something that's out of this world, but it's real. It's telepathy. You can talk to humans like that too, you know, certain people. But how to communicate with the whale is that, you know, I wear my sacred stones and I communicate with the whales and dolphins, and you know, they come to me. So I can stroke them just like a dog. You touch a dog and you talk to them and sing to them. You know, they will know you. You know, they will know you. But you know, the whale is our family because we come from that line of the seven sisters and the whale. You know, when they became man and wife and mated and had children. You know, we believe the whales become, you know, our brothers and our sisters, and you know, with all our family. You know, humans and whale people don't really get that. You know. But as every being was once a man, once a human, a being, from a being, a man to, or a woman to, and then to a snake or a whale or whatever it might be. So people can understand that they can learn how to connect to Earth, and they can learn to connect out of creation when, you know, in the dream time it was done. But, you know, it's amazing. It's a beautiful, at the moment we have, all these tourist operators going out to our country, and like I said, we feel like I'll tell the truth when I'm talking here, because we feel like we're refugees in our own country. We can't even go to our country to, to do a ceremony, because it's, you know, the lease is held by white government. You've got to let them know you get a permit to govern that country, an own country. And it's shocking, but, you know, I go to other places and I've done my, you know, done my ritual and my magic and other places as well as on my country, you know. And it's incredible when people see that this, they get blown away when you do magic at Wales and make the Wales come to you. And I've been doing ceremonies with tribes right around Australia and helping them to, you know, connect to the country and to their whale. And, you know, it's really incredible. The whales are, you know, they got a bigger brain than us, but they're incredible beings. And, you know, once you get to know them and, you know they're out there, and that's why we protect them, because that's one of the first top reasons why we protect whales and dolphins, because the story of the whale and the dolphin, when the whale first came to the waters of here, the dolphins escorted them, and the emperor penguin as well was in the story. So then it goes on, then the Seven Sisters comes in. So we have this Dreamtime story. It's an incredible story. It came from the Yuri, which we call the galaxies or the cosmos or the universe or the Milky Way. So we can point out those stars up there, you know, from where they originated from in the Milky Way. And it's, I'll say once again, you know, we have to protect these whales and we protect the ocean. But first, before you protect, well, we've got to protect the ocean. It's the most important thing you do. If you protect an ocean, like Brother Bruce is saying, if you protect that river, you have all the living beings here, like the fish that in it, that lives in there. There's always going to be resource of food, of your shellfish and whatever, and waters. And you're going to have clean water. Same as the sea. Now, sea is a big giver of fresh water from rain. So we must protect that ocean so the whales get to live there and they get to live and sleep. And because when you look at the ocean, if their bedroom is their house, they're going to eat and sleep in it, so, and swim every which way they go. So, you know, everything like squid and fish and all that, dolphins and all kinds of, you know, from even little sea horses and things like that, crabs and lobsters and everything we get from the ocean, people are stupid, because we're going to keep that sea clean. We're going to protect it, because they continue to get shiploads of food and, you know, prawns. And today they're making tablets out of things like krill and all that. They've gone crazy for money. But we must, it's important to protect and keep it clean so that whales have a clear path to travel. I mean, they're, you know, it's like us, we call our people, we're all travellers of the Dreamtime, because we all came from the Dreamtime. We're travellers of the Dreamtime, same as the whales and all the creatures on this planet, the kangaroo, the emu, they're all travellers of the Dreamtime, because when you look up in the Milky Way, what you have here on Earth, you see it up there. You know, it's like a big giant work of art up there as well. So, you know, it's very important, again, to teach people how to connect well, how to communicate well. So I do that a lot of myself and teach my children as well, and I teach all my people that and work with them to, very important to pass your knowledge and your skills and also, you know, how to communicate with what's in the sea and with the sea. And, you know, mark me wrong, if not, you know, the sea will have what it wants and take what it wants, so you've got to be careful at the time. You do wrong and you're a goner, but, you know, It's got its mind of its own, and he's always watching us. The sea's watching us all the time. And you got to look back the history of mankind from airplane to ships have disappeared and all the things. You do wrong, you do one mistake, and you're a goner. So, you know, this is where respect comes in. This is where balance is coming. All Aboriginal people, we know how to balance life on our country. We know how to balance our resources. We only take what we need from the sea for our family. We try and teach people that, because all that words like wooden manure and all that is a balancing and keeping the harmony with all things. Because in other words, he said, keep your house and your backyard clean. That's all you got to do. Same thing with the sea. That's your front yard, the sea, and your backyard. And, you know, you're living in your front yard and your backyard, you know, because this is who we are. We are humans, you know. But, yeah, it's the most important thing is just to keep on respecting everything where you walk and where you live, and even people you must respect. But most important thing is to respect elders and take really special care of elders, because they hold the knowledge and the wisdom, you know, and for younger people to get that, they respect elders before they get that knowledge and the wisdom, because it's important for them to learn that, because when they grow up, they need to know all that connection you've got with the land and your totems and all that's in front of you, around you, behind you, and what you see, you've got to know all that, because when you walk in that country, you've got to become a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge, or a woman of wisdom, a woman of knowledge, and then you will know who you are and where you belong. And that's your country. And you look after it.
You've been listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network. Today on the show we heard part two of a three-part episode called Healing Our Waterways, and it's from the NAIDOC 2021 series, Heal Country, Heal Climate. This webinar series is hosted by the Indigenous Peoples Organisation Australia at indigenouspeoplesorg.com.au and Better Futures Australia at betterfutures.org.au. And if you missed part of the show today, you can find the podcast and all the details of the speakers at 3cr.org.au/Earth Matters. And if you're already listening via a podcasting service, we'd love you to subscribe. And why not rate us and give us a review to help spread the word? Earth Matters would like to thank the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their generous support and the Community Radio Network for all their hard work in getting this show out to you. Earth Matters is produced at 3CR Community Radio in Fitzroy, Nam. And we can be contacted at earthmatters3cr@gmail.com. And you can also find us on your socials. That's all for today, but don't forget, tune in next week for more environmental and social justice stories.
In life there are highs and lows, 'cause I know in